Hello there, everyone. Good evening. It's good to be able to do this Friday night devotional, and I hope that you're all having chomping on your pizza. By the looks of it, on the Viz chat, that Johnny and Taylor have missed the pizza, or probably get the crust. So tonight I want to speak from the book of John, chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, and speaking on the confidence in the finished work of Christ. So let's pray. Father, I come before you. I just pray tonight that you will have your Holy Spirit speak through me to help encourage and edify those who are watching tonight on this broadcast on Facebook. So we ask you, Lord, just to be with us, encourage us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of you will know that on Tuesday nights, some Tuesday nights, once a month, I have been doing the Tuesday night prayer meeting, but doing the Bible study, that's part of it. And I've been going through the book of John, and it's just good to get away from a deeper Bible study and being able to do this devotional tonight. So really I want to talk about the confidence in the finished work of Christ, and just to talk a little bit about John, the disciple John, at the foot of the cross, at the time with Christ and after his resurrection. So I'll read here in John 19, verse 25 to 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. John himself, he had such a remarkable memory. He was such an old man writing this gospel, but he is writing with a sharpness that he knows that he was a pure eyewitness to the accounts of Christ through his writings. So his writing is trustworthy and is guided by the Holy Spirit who helps guides him in writing this gospel. And this we can have a confidence and a truth in Scripture. So before the crucifixion, at the Last Supper, the disciples listened to Jesus foretelling the coming events. They didn't really grasp what was going to happen. And I doubt that sometimes we would either. We couldn't maybe not grasp what was going to happen. But they trusted him. And they went with him to the Mount of Olives. Here on the Mount, there is one who betrays with a kiss, and the others fall asleep instead of praying. And when he is taken into custody, the disciples scatter in fear. And these are the same disciples that left their vocation to follow Jesus. And they sat under his ministry. They saw the great miracles. Yet they were overcome with fear. So there follows a trial. Jesus is accused of blasphemy, and the punishment is death. It's death on the cross. Imagine the utter despair, the confusion of the disciples. Their hopes have been completely shattered. They had given everything up to follow this man Jesus, and now they appear to have lost all hope. Their Lord and King is to be crucified, and their hopes and dreams will be crucified with him. So looking again at our verses, notice that when the time comes, there is only the only disciple who stayed at the cross was John, the disciple Jesus loved. While the others abandoned him, John, along with his mother Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, stayed. And all these men who spent so much time with the Lord have gone into hiding with fear. Have you ever been overwhelmed? Have you ever been overwhelmed, maybe even abandoned? Abandoned in a situation that's happened in your life. John himself, he doesn't tell us how he was feeling, how he stood there at the cross, but it would seem likely that he would react much like we would, confused and fearful. So why did John stay when the others ran? It doesn't really tell us, but we can ponder some different kind of reasons. He might have stayed to protect and support the women who were there, especially Mary, the Lord's mother, as he watched in horror at what was happening to her son. He might have stayed in hopeful expectation that at any moment Christ would come down off the cross and strike those who were persecuting them. But maybe it was through loyalty to Christ, who he loved so much. Maybe it was because of that loyalty that Jesus asked John to care for his mother after he was gone. A request John immediately, without hesitation, fulfilled. As it reads in our verse, it tells us, from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. There is one certain thing that we can glean from these three verses, and that is that John was there because he had confidence in Christ, That confidence was greater than his fears, greater than his hesitations, and greater than his doubts. That confidence kept him by the Lord's side, beside his side through these dark hours. When we go through situations and circumstances in our lives that seem kind of confusion, could be frightening, can be overwhelming, but we can have that same confidence in Christ that John had. Just think, John only saw in part. He didn't know Sunday was coming. Yet he stayed. He didn't run away. He looked upon our Saviour's blooded and battered body on that cross. And he chose to continue trusting. I want to look ahead to John on that Sunday morning, that first day of the week. We've seen the confidence that John had in the Saviour, but how did he respond when Mary came? When she came to tell Peter and John that the stone had been rolled away and that the body of our Lord Jesus was gone. John chapter 20 verse 4 tells us that John raced ahead of Peter, maybe because he was younger and fitter, or maybe it was because of the excitement. But John himself, he arrived first at that tomb, but he didn't enter straight away. He waited. He waited for Peter. And on the other hand, Peter, he went straight into the tomb. And John followed him. And this might give us some insight into both of these men, into some kind of part of their character. John was a bit more thoughtful, more measured. Maybe he was kind of concerned about the kind of ceremonial kind of laws around burial. But for whatever reason, he hesitated. But Peter, on the other hand, he went straight in there. And we know that what Peter was like with the incident with Malachus, that Peter, his character, he was impulsive. In John chapter 20 verse 8, it reads here, "Then went in also that other disciple is John, which came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed." John saw. In the Greek, that word saw is such a nice word, it kind of means eidō. And it means to understand, but also means to, another word, to perceive the significance of. So John looked at the grave clothes with understanding. He understood what was happening. And he believed. He knew that Christ had risen from the dead. Gosh, I just imagine what kind of emotions that John went through. It must have been such an incredible moment in his life. He might not expected to see the Lord him bodily, but he knew that the body hadn't been stolen or moved. He knew, maybe not in full but in part, that Christ was risen. So later that same day, the 10 disciples were gathered together. Judas no longer being one of them, and Thomas was not present. And Jesus, he appeared in the midst, out of fear from the Jewish authorities, fear of the unknown. The disciples had locked the door behind them. Yet Jesus stands in the midst of them. There was no need to knock. Imagine John's reaction. His reaction seeing the Lord. Was it a vision? Was it a spirit? Absolutely not. He showed them his hands, his side, which bore the scars and wounds. But Jesus was in his physical, complete, resurrected body, which he is right now sitting on the right hand side of God. But Jesus says, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." What a greeting. With the exception of John, the rest had run away at the time of our Lord's greatest need. They had fallen asleep in the garden. When the Lord had asked them to stay awake and pray. And also there was Peter, and Peter denied him 3 times. And yet he comforts and reassures them with this greeting. They might have expected rebuke, but that isn't the God we serve. The God we serve is generous, his mercy and his grace stretches far and wide over all our failures and sin. He covers it all. Spurgeon once said, "Our Master came to his cowardly, faithless disciples and stood in the midst of them, uttering and cheering salutation, peace be unto you. My soul, why should he not come to thee, though thou be the most unworthy of all whom he has bought with his blood." Wow, bought with his blood. What a beautiful quote. We are all unworthy, yet we are made worthy through the price that was paid on that cross. He bore it all. So there is so much that we can take away from these verses and events, but I want to encourage you with the following as I wrap up this devotional. No matter how dark the situation that happens in your life, you can have confidence that John had when he watched at the foot of the cross. He didn't know Sunday was coming, but he stayed with the Lord. He kept trusting. And when you go through difficulties and doubts, or you get gripped with fear, turn to the Lord and seek his face. He is quick to stretch out his hand and say, "Peace be unto you." His love and his patience, his love and patience towards us is without end. The nails that are pierced, that had pierced him, are the same nails that has made it possible for you to be set free. So walk in that freedom, knowing that it is finished. It is finished. So I'll finish there, and may God bless you this weekend, and just we won't be there this weekend, but I just pray that you will have a blessed weekend with the testimonies that you will hear, and I pray that there will be new people that will come in and hear these stories that have changed people's lives. So thanks for watching.